Spooky Time Tea, the show where we talk about ghosts, ghouls, murders, and mysteries, and everything in between, all while enjoying a cup of tea, like a tea party, but spooky. Spooky. Except today, again, okay, just full disclosure, we're recording three episodes at one time because we have a lot of shit on our hands, and Chloe just got out of surgery, and her brother's in town, and he's on today, and we are currently at her grandparents' house, and we don't have any drinks right now because we finished our drinks the last round, and there's a kitten in my lap, so...
I have 100 cc's of water.
There's... Anyway, Chloe, what are we talking about today?
Did we do the intro?
Yeah, I did the intro. Okay, we're a little chaotic, and I'm so sorry, but this might make it more fun for you guys. These are less of relaxing episodes and more of like, are you feeling a little chaotic? You can live that dream out with us.
Look, I'm on so many pills right now.
That's yeah. my life now.
Chloe just got out of major surgery, so she's on like a lot of pain medication.
Yeah, I'm feeling great.
Now you know how I feel when I'm on my pain meds.
Yeah, hold on.
My
stitch itches. And also
breathe through it. Breathe through it.
Can we each?
Can
we each take a turn in scratching that for you?
I meant to say, can you itch around it?
No, what I meant to say, I didn't mean to even say itch. I almost pulled the drain out this morning, and so it's been in constant pain since then.
Is it tugging? Like a tugging sensation?
No, it just hurts like a motherfucker. It feels like someone, you know, like sliced me open and stitched me back together because that's what happened.
I feel that on a level.
Yeah, the Three Stooges are passing the mic back and forth.
So I technically have four stories today. It's all one.
So that's six episodes.
I was trying to.
It's one episode, but I'm telling. Okay, so I'll
try to be super dramatic there.
Super dramatic.
For the people who can't see this, which is everyone.
This is what a podcast
just
is.
Just describe it.
Silas is wearing a maroon Dr. Pepper hoodie, and Kitty has blue hair now.
Turquoise. And Kat has pink hair.
Kat has pink hair, but that's not new.
Chloe, can I just say that the cardboard cutout of your grandparents at their wedding is staring at me from down the stairs?
It's haunting.
It's so cute. That's
yeah. That was at their 50th wedding anniversary party that their old friends threw them, and it's a life-size cardboard cutout of them.
That's not what they look like, the 50th wedding anniversary.
No.
I want
it's from the 50th wedding anniversary.
Grandma is 16 in that picture. Wow. She got married at 16.
That is so sweet, though.
And she's giving me dating advice.
No, anyway, we're upstairs at Chloe's grandparents' house, and it's downstairs, like at the landing
of
the stairs.
It's at the base of the stairs.
And it's just staring directly at me.
But, okay, can I just say, like, this stuff freaks me the fuck out. I don't like
taxidermy. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a lot of taxidermy ducks around here.
I don't like it. It's creepy.
I don't like it.
It's sad.
Griffith Evans, call me.
And you said that these are hunting trophies?
Yeah, I think so.
So that makes me sad.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the taxidermy things, but my grandparents pay for things for me, so I'm not gonna like.
No. I mean, that's fine if that's what they do, but I just don't like that it's like.
No, and they don't usually anymore. My grandpa has said since getting their dogs, which by their dog had their most recent dog has recently
Are
passed
they
away.
Getting
they're not getting
okay.
another dog.
Well, I was going to ask if they were going to get him stuff.
No.
Okay, good.
No. That's weird.
But I've seen people do that.
Yeah.
And
it's like Kingsman.
I mean, no judgment, but also like...
Oh, I love that movie.
That's a good movie. Yeah. No, my grandpa said that he used to like... No, I think my grandpa said it. I'm taking what your dad said, Kat, and making it a thing. That's your dad said since getting a dog, he can't go hunting anymore.
Yes.
Never mind.
My dad.
Not my grandparents' story.
My dad used to hunt all the time, but when I was in the 8th grade, we got a deer-headed chihuahua. And he claimed a couple years later that he wasn't hunting anymore because whenever he looked at deer, he saw Belle. And he couldn't do it anymore, so he stopped. But he didn't say anything about it till we asked him why he didn't hunt anymore, because he used to hunt all the time.
That's what Monster is. He's a deer-headed chihuahua, too.
You ever know, like, when you become so close to friends, you start telling their family stories as your stories, because you just don't know the difference anymore? That's what just happened. Yeah. Anyways, so today I'm telling the story of two women. They're entirely separate true crime cases. I'll be telling the stories of Beulah Annan and Belva Gardner. So today we're talking about Beulah Annan and Belva Gardner, the inspirations to the Broadway musical Chicago.
Whoa!
Yeah. So they're actually based off of...
We're all musical junkies here.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We are. I made you one, though. I take credit for that.
I saw Newsies. I saw Hamilton.
I took you to see Newsies.
I've heard you sing Shrek.
Silas and I were...
I can recite Shrek the Musical on Broadway. I can recite the whole movie from start to finish. Even, yes, like, side characters say in the background. Anything, mm-hmm. I can recite it all.
Silas and I were on a FaceTime many moons ago.
At our house.
And Katie was in the living room. And Silas had put on the movie. And we had stopped talking about 20 minutes beforehand because he had exclusively started singing and saying the lines to Shrek the Musical on Netflix. It was almost an hour.
I could play that whole play by myself.
He really could. Do the Gingy voice.
I don't know if I can do it right now.
Not the gumdrop.
It's bad right now.
That was more of a Carl Weezer, but I'll give it to you.
I had a flight and I'm jet lagged. Oh, you got me. All right, and that'll end today's episode of the podcast.
And
anyway.
That's going in the podcast.
Yeah.
Silas has been got.
It's a rare occasion.
It really is. Silas is the king of this game.
I love how he looked at you though, and you're like, "Oh, you got me." But when I did it to him yesterday, he straight up slow turned and glared at me from across the room as if I just insulted his mother.
I'm losing my stand. This game.
I just barely started, and I'm good.
Yeah. All right, so we're gonna go ahead and
podcast anymore.
Beulah May Annan was born in 1899 in Owensburg, Kentucky. While living there, she married her first husband, Perry Stevens, a newspaper linotype operator. Silas, you weren't here when we tried to record this. Do you want to know what that is?
Perry the Platypus.
Incorrect.
Wait, what was it?
A linotype operator?
Is it like the phone?
No. So, you know, did you ever watch Liberty Kids?
No, I watch Recess.
Liberty Kids was before his time. But basically, it's what they used to print newspapers before they had, like, printers.
So, like, the printing press.
Printing press. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I've seen Newsies.
You know what? Fair, because I did take you to see Newsies.
And I got a signed paper by all of them. Not to flex, but it's okay.
During their marriage, they had one son at some point, and it was a very brief marriage, and then they got divorced after they had that one son. Very brief marriage. Beulah then met mechanic Albert Al Annan, and they ran off to Chicago after that and got married in March of 1920. Al found another mechanic job, and Beulah eventually picked up work as a bookkeeper at a laundry place. They called it a laundry place.
Laundry place.
Did you know
the very first washateria was in Fort Worth, Texas?
I did know that because you told me last time we tried.
Did I? This. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Is that like a cafeteria with like?
No, it's a laundromat. Machine?
Yes, that's
you
exactly.
Poor
what it
sweet
is.
Baby. A washateria is a laundromat, but they used to call it a washateria.
Did you know a laundromat was, before it was generic, a brand name?
Really?
Yes.
That doesn't surprise me, actually. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Swag.
Swag. While she was working at the laundry place, she met and began an affair with Harry Kalstead. On April 3rd of 1924, so 4 years after they showed up in Chicago, at around 12:30 p.m., Beulah and Harry were sitting in the Annan's bedroom, drinking and listening to music and possibly other things.
Knitting sweaters.
Yes, exactly. They were knitting.
Knitting sweaters.
They were knitting sweaters. That's what happens when you work at a laundry place.
You knit sweaters.
Knittery.
Yep.
Knittery.
But that's never addressed in any of the articles or anything. And they had been drinking, and I found the amount that they had been drinking. They found the amount, they reported the amount that they were drinking in the papers. Would you like to know the breakdown?
Yes.
I love how they have, like, this scientific...
No, no. They gave a vague answer, and okay. I did the math.
Okay, great.
They had been drinking 2 quarts of wine between the two. Weird measurements for, you know, that. But however, would you like to know how that 2 quarts was broken down to?
Yes. Yeah, might as well.
12 glasses of wine between the two of them, if you're curious as to how many servings that was.
So six glasses.
Yes. Essentially, 2 bottles of wine per person.
That seems doable.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was about to say, I can go through, you know, like the big bottles of barefoot.
This is prohibition area, which shit was strong.
That's true. You're right.
Well, that... No, I feel like it's possible.
I mean, definitely possible. However, only one of them escaped the day alive. Because then an argument ensued, or so Beulah claimed. there were rumors that Beulah felt that Harry didn't spend enough money on her, or that she told him that he wasn't her only lover or something else entirely. She had at one point had said that, and I quote, "I taunted Harry with the fact that he'd been in jail once, and he said something nasty back to me. Seems like we just wanted to make each other mad and to hurt each other." End quote. Seems like they had a, you know, heavily romanticized, super toxic relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the ones where they, like, you're together because you really love pissing each other off.
That sounds like any relationship I've been in.
You're just lucky to be alive.
Yeah, I agree. Luckily, I haven't drank in 2 bottles of wine during the Prohibition era to really...
For legal reasons, Silas is 19 and he's never drank ever.
Here's my social security number.
It runs in the family.
Yes. Also, real quick, Kat, you have to stay here for this?
Yeah.
I want it noted that one of her insults while fighting with Cal said was Magnolia white skin flushing and paling as she recited her narrative of death. Can we please go back to absurdly detailed and poetic insults?
Yes. 100% we can. That's amazing.
They had 12 glasses of wine between the two of them, and a gun was lying on the bed, because where else do you keep your guns in the 1920s?
Your horse.
Gun safes, maybe?
Never mind.
Oh my.
Jesus.
Oh my.
Hold on real quick.
I was gonna say, you must need a lalaloo for that.
So the gun was laying in the center of the bed. Usually it was kept under her pillow, but that day it was just laying in the center of the bed. No one knows why. She's never cared to explain it. But that day it was just laying in the center of the bed and they both reached for it. Beulah got it first and in the state of panic and fear, fired and shot Harry while he was putting on his hat and his coat. I want you to all sit with that information for a second and really think about the logistics of what I just said. They both reached for the gun. She got it first, and then she shot him in the back while he was putting on his hat and coat.
They were both reaching for it, so then...
Yes, thank you.
My theory is that this is just transcribed wrong, maybe what happened is, like, they both reached for the gun, she got to it first, and then he immediately turned around and started grabbing his coat and hat, and she shot him while he was, like, grabbing it. You know what I mean?
I like the idea that...
She changes her story several times.
I just like the idea of him just trying to reach behind his back and grab it like no one's watching him. And then she grabs it and he's like, oh, fuck.
She is quoted as saying, "Then I shot. They say I shot him in the back, but it must have been sort of under the arm," end quote. Like, she didn't know...
He had it coming.
I'm gonna get there. And that's a quote from Beulah that I found from the Chicago Times, or the Chicago Sun Times. Sounds like they couldn't make up a name for
everyone. Well, sometimes.
Sun Times.
No,
like,
sometimes.
Silas, I need you to look at me right now and say that you understand that the phrase is "we stand."
Yeah, we stand. With a D. We stand.
No.
I'm here, with I'm present, D? We stand.
With a D.
Yep. Stand. It just makes sense to me. Like, we stand. Like, I'm here, I'm present.
I have another question for you. Do you like the actress Isla Fisher?
Isla Fisher is great, and her husband, Sacha Baron Cohen, is really cool as well.
Oh, God.
Anyway, this is a running joke. Continue.
Hey, Silas. What are your favorite kind of waffles?
Oh, Beijing waffles.
Silas is severely dyslexic.
I was on a flight and there was a TV in front of me and it said Beijing and I was like, oh, I love their waffles, because I misread it. I thought it said Belgium.
No, you... you didn't
misread
it.
Silas, that's not dyslexic. That's just straight not reading.
That was before he tested positive for dyslexia.
It's a hard line, okay?
Let's not continue to feed Chloe's ADHD. Okay.
Let's let her continue.
Also, when answering questions, she had said, "I didn't love Harry so much, but he bought me wine and made a fuss over me, and I thought and thought I was pretty. I don't think I ever loved anybody very much. You know how it is. You keep looking and looking all of the time for someone you can really love." End quote. Basically, she's like, "I didn't love him, but like, does anyone ever really love anybody?" I don't think she was okay.
I think we call that antisocial disorder.
We do.
Ooh, well.
Very possibly. Yeah. She did just, like, remember how I said she was married before and had a son?
Yes.
Left him in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Never mentioned again until it conveniences her during the trial.
She had problems.
Yeah. Most people do, though.
Yeah.
Her story changed several times, but very specifically several hours later. She had said that Harry had threatened to leave her and she had killed him because he couldn't leave her. Because then he couldn't leave her if he was dead. I don't know how that makes sense to anybody. I mean, well, he's not in love wrong.
Then you can't go and love anyone else is pretty much what she was saying.
Yeah, still dumb logic.
It's like yes, absolutely. Child logic.
Yeah, no, exactly. When she finally went to trial, because back in the 20s you actually had speedy trials, it was like really quick. When she finally went to trial, Beulah claimed that she had told Harry she was pregnant, and then they struggled back and forth, and then they both reached for the gun. Her trial ended in an acquittal. The day after her trial ended, on May 25th of 1924, literally a month after she killed him. Speedy trials, everybody, that's what that's supposed to be. The day after her trial ended, on May 25th, 1924, she announced that she had left her husband, the man who had stuck by her the whole time and pulled all of his money out of the bank for the best lawyer that they could afford. She called him, quote-unquote, too slow.
Top, down, low, too slow.
Yeah. 2 years later, she had claimed that he deserted her, so she divorced him. She has a real habit of changing her story.
She has mental problems.
Probably.
Like, and
well, had.
Had, because she's not alive anymore. But
well,
yeah.
I'll get to that.
Okay.
Post-trial, Annan married her third husband, Edward Harlib, a boxer, and divorced him 3 months later.
Man, she just
sucks. Dude, she just wants guys for the money, I think. Like,
well,
honestly,
this is the only one that's had money. This was the only one that's had money.
But she just sucks at dating.
Well, yeah.
The reason for divorce, she cited cruelty as the reason. And the divorce settlement ended with Harlib paying her $5,000. Who wants to guess how much it is today's money?
$15,000.
Love this game.
I'm guessing like 20.
Yeah, that was going to be my guess, is between 20 and 30.
Yeah.
$76,114.08.
We were way off.
Yeah, guys. 1920s. The Great Depression.
Yeah.
That's
insane.
Yes.
That's a lot of money. I wish I had that.
I could pay off my student loans with that.
I could pay off everything.
I could almost pay off my entire house loan.
You could pay off the cops with 50 cents, let alone $76,000.
Look at the big stretch.
Oh, big stretch. Oh, she's like, I'm done.
Are you ready to wake up?
Or are you just stretching out?
You're just stretching. Okay.
She was ready to wake up at 4 a.m.
Does she run around and wake you up?
I'm currently sleeping on a recliner in the living room because I can't sleep on my side or my stomach. And 4 a.m. is her playtime.
Oh, boy.
I woke up one morning and she was like in my face, like licking my face and meowing really loudly. Granted, it was a thunderstorm.
She was hungry, not okay.
No, there was a thunderstorm outside and she was scared.
Spooked, razzled, dazzled.
You were like having to be like, it's okay, little one.
Yes, I was like, it's also 3 a.m., please let me sleep. Beulah Annan died a year later in the Chicago Fresh Air Sanatorium under the name Beulah Stevens, taking back her first husband's last name of tuberculosis.
Which was very big around that time. Like,
yeah, it was.
A lot of people would get
TB. It was. Her grave marker actually...
A lot of people say TB.
Yeah.
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 I never heard it until just now.
You've never heard the initial to TB?
Nope.
Yeah, like, you can go and get a TB shot. Like, it's a big thing in the medical field. Like, you have to go get it.
Mm-hmm. Usually that's one of the first shots you get when you're a kid.
I don't want the Tom Brady shot, no thank you.
No, like, they have, like, the testing for TB, like, especially if you work in the medical field, like, they, like, put this bubble of stuff underneath your skin, and then you have to go get it checked, like, a week later, or, like, I can't remember if it's, like, a week or two. I've had to have it done, like, multiple times when I worked as a CNA.
Fun.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Not fun. Her grave marker actually notes her death as 1 year prior to her actual death date, but she was 28 years old when she died.
Oh.
So Beulah Annan is actually the inspiration for the character Roxy Hart in the Chicago musical. So there's some similarities in their stories. Roxy Hart was having an affair. Her husband, also a mechanic.
Wait, hold on. So she committed murder.
Yeah.
And just didn't get charged with anything?
She got acquitted.
Did they say why, though?
Nope. Yes.
All right. Fleet of Insanity, maybe?
Probably.
Because no time. Nothing. Just a little slap on the hand. Yeah, and then later on got the equivalent of $73,000.
You...
Just three G's off.
Hold on. No, but...
back then, like, a lot of people could get away with murder.
Dude.
I forgot to mention, because I did mention it the first time, she was known as, like, one of the, like...
I got that on the microphone, too. I put the microphone right next to her mouth and tickled her.
She was known as what?
The most beautiful woman to ever go on trial for murder.
She's kicking me.
Do we have pictures?
We have pictures.
She is really pretty. Very Hollywood starlet.
Yep.
I don't know. She looks creepy. I don't think she's very pretty, to be honest.
Back then, in the 1920s.
That's valid.
Beauty standards of the 1920s.
She looks like she would kill someone.
In the
20s,
like, that style of hair was, yep, like...
And the fact that her eyes were kind of wide set and they were very big.
I honestly think it's just her facial structure. Like, it looks like too, like, you know how similar on both sides. Like,
it's too symmetrical.
It looks fake, kind of, like, like too symmetrical, mm-hmm, where it's like, that's a match.
I think that might have been part of the reason why, like, she was acquitted. And she's like, she's too pretty and she's a woman. She can't murder unless it's justified.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask, because I thought you mentioned something last time that people were like, no, she's too pretty to be a murderer.
Yeah, something like that.
Wait, so why would it say that she died a year prior to her?
Oh, they just mismarked her grave. Mm. It was a carelessness thing, yeah. But yeah. Huh. So she's Roxy's inspiration. Roxy was also married to a man. They lived in a Chicago apartment. He was a mechanic. Yep.
Chicago.
In the...
Chicago.
The Bears.
In the musical, Roxy's having an affair with a man named... I think it's Fred. He was their furniture salesman. And they did both reach for the gun because he... Oh, it's been so long since I've seen it. Was it because he was leaving her?
I think so.
It was because he was leaving her, which is, you know, a similarity in the storyline. Both reached for the gun. Or no. She shot him because he was walking out and leaving. He thought she was nothing, whatever. So she shot him, and then she called her husband. He took the fall for it. What really happened is Beulah shot Harry at 2 p.m. and waited for her husband to get off work around 6 p.m., all the while playing this song.
I wish I lived in times where that was, like, the common music, mm-hmm, to listen to.
So
that was playing, like...
For how long?
She was playing that on the phonograph, which, mind you, she had to pick up the needle and start it over every time it ended. For 4 hours, while he was dying in her bedroom, just bleeding out.
That's so haunting.
I can imagine her sitting on the bed, just smoking cigarette after cigarette after cigarette, listening to that song for 4 hours, just watching him die.
I also feel like she zoned out.
Yeah.
Yep. No, she would go and she kind of went back and forth in between the bedroom, checking to see if he had died yet, and then going back and playing, like, the song would end, so she would go and start it over again. That song was called Hulalu.
Why would she, like, did she want him to suffer and, like, not put him out of his misery quicker, or...
I feel like she was just in shock.
Yeah, and I think she was just in shock. And so she called for the police around 6:30 p.m. when he had finally died. So she sat there for 4 hours while he was dying.
So honestly, he probably wouldn't have died if
she... No, he probably could have gotten help. However, in Chicago the Musical, she shot him and Fred died.
Immediately.
Huh. Yeah, and then her husband took the fall for her, which is where the song Funny Honey comes in, which is one of my favorite songs in that show. Let's see, what are some other similarities?
Oh, I hate the fact that, like, this guy's just bleeding out and he just has to listen to this.
The cat halfway across the table.
I did.
She's fine.
She's smooth.
Oh, how dare you? I was asleep.
The cat's like, wow, that's some creepy ass music to listen to. Hold on.
So Both Reach for the Gun is also a song in the musical. That was Beulah's story the whole time. That was Roxy's story the whole time. Something that's in the musical that's not in the movie, so most people don't know unless they've seen the Broadway musical, is that Roxy fakes a pregnancy to kind of keep herself off of death row. So Beulah did not fake a pregnancy to my knowledge. However, she was very like, I just want to go see my son back in Kentucky. Like, when it benefited her. Left him.
Abandoned him. Yes. And like...
So that's Beulah Annan and the story of how she inspired Roxy Hart's storyline. Next, we have Miss Belva Gardner.
Ooh, this sounds familiar.
No, it doesn't.
This lady does. Could be. Well, I guess we'll find out. Well, continue.
Let's hear what you think. She
you tell the story, Silas. You're the guest. You tell the story.
I don't know.
Who do you think she is?
I don't know. It's her name. Just it sounds like I've heard her name before, though.
Okay. Gardner was a very popular last name. I'm good at it now.
It's spelt a weird way, too. It's G A E R T N E R. So Belva Gardner was actually born Belva Eleonora Boosinger on September 14th, 1884. So she is a little bit older than Beulah in Litchfield, Illinois. She was a 2 or 3-time divorcee, depending on how you feel like counting. You'll figure that out soon. Who worked under the name Belle Brown as a cabaret singer. Her first marriage was to a man named Mr. Overbeck. That's all we get. No first name, just Mr. Overbeck. And her second marriage was to William Gardner. He was a wealthy industrialist, 20 years her senior, and 5 months into their marriage, he sued for an annulment, claiming that her divorce of Overbeck was never finalized. They got married again, but were separated by the time of her murder accusation. So on Tuesday, March 11th, 1924, Belva Gardner and her side piece, Walter Lee...
That just sounds like a hot piece of ass. It's like, oh, yes, your side piece.
Yeah. His name was also not Walter Lee. It was Walter Law. Walter Lee?
Walter Lee?
On Tuesday, March 11th, 1924, Belva Gardner and her side piece, Walter Law, had visited a number of bars and jazz houses. Law was a married man with a child. That just needed to be noted.
What's so sexy about jazz house? Jazz?
Jazz was real popular at the time. Yeah. Also, it was prohibition, so they had illegal alcohol. So the next morning, Law was found sprawled out in the front seat of Gardner's car, dead, with her gun and a bottle of gin on the floor beside him. Belva was found later, blood-soaked in her apartment with, quote, no recollection of what happened, end quote. She had admitted to being drunk and driving with Law the night before, but she was, quote, so drunk she had blacked out and didn't remember a thing, end quote. She was arrested on March 12th, the day that they had found Law in the car, after admitting to drinking and partying. She said she carried a gun for fear of robbers. So she's like, I don't know what happened. I don't remember anything.
Been there before.
During the trial, the prosecution used one of Law's co-workers to paint Gardner as a possessive lover who threatened him with a knife if he tried to leave her. It was said that Law believed she'd kill him one day. Meanwhile, Gardner told Maureen Dallas Watkins, who, by the way, I got most of my information from articles that were written by Maureen Dallas Watkins. She was a female journalist for the Chicago Tribune at the time, and she covered both trials.
Nice.
I'm going to talk about her more later because she's actually really important to the story. But she covered both. All of the quotes I think I got are essentially from her articles. Gardner had told Watkins that no woman can love a man enough to kill him. They aren't worth it because there are always plenty more. Walter was just a kid, 29, and I'm 38. Why should I have worried whether he loved me or whether he left me? Gin and guns, either one is bad enough, but together they get you in a dickens of a mess, don't they?
Damn.
Yeah, she was like, fuck, man, there's enough of them. Like, why would I give a shit? Like, she was a bad bitch.
She didn't give no fucks.
She gave no fucks.
I'm a bad bitch, you can't kill me.
And here we go, quoting Vines once again.
Just a go-to.
Her defense was that Law had probably killed himself in her car with her gun. She was acquitted in June of 1924. So a couple months after that. That's what a speedy trial is supposed to be. I didn't find a lot on her trial. It was very much just I blacked out, I don't know kind of thing. But after her trial, she remarried William Gardner again in 1925 following her acquittal. And then they divorced again in 1926.
Oh my god.
It gets better. Mr. Gardner claimed that Belleville was an alcoholic and abusive, so that was why they were getting a divorce. And on July 5th of 1926, he claimed that Belleville threatened to murder him when he found her with another man. She was convicted of drunk driving in November of 1926. I think she did a little bit of time, but not much, because, like, the justice system in the 20s, who cares? Mm-hmm. They moved together to Europe in 1930. I don't think they were remarried. They might have been. Not sure. Anyways, he died in 1948, and Belva moved to Pasadena, California, and lived with her sister Ethel, and she died in 1965 at the age of 80.
Wow.
She inspired Velma Kelly's story, who was the cabaret dancer at the beginning of the musical. She's arrested because her husband and her sister are found dead. Mm-hmm. And her story is that she blacked out of anger, and she had no idea they were dead until she was washing the blood off of her hands. Not a drunk thing. That's about it, very loosely. The reason both of these women were the inspiration for Chicago is because Maureen Dallas Watkins, who had covered both stories in the Chicago Tribune from the arrests to the trials to the acquittals, she left the paper very shortly after finishing both of those cases. She didn't work for the Tribune for too long, from what I know. She was a female journalist that covered those two cases. She left the paper shortly after and used those two women's stories that she covered as the inspiration for the 1926 stage play of Chicago.
Nice.
The woman that covered the true life stories, wrote the original source material.
That's awesome.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Which was later, she died in 1969, and in 1975.
Styles.
In 1975, it was adapted into the Broadway musical that we know today of Chicago.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyways, my sources were Wikipedia, as always, Chicagoology, which had all of the articles by Maureen Watkins. If you ever get a chance, like, read. She's an incredible writer.
Can't read.
No, you can't. You're dyslexic.
Did you say he's disgusting?
No, he's dyslexic.
Both.
True.
Both.
Both is good. The Chicago Sun-Times, the Deadly Women Wikia fandom page, and the Madison Public Library website.
Nice.
And The Onion.
Not The Onion.
Damn it. That's my favorite news source. That and anything posted on Facebook. I believe it all.
Thank you, Karen, for the input.
They have microchips, and they're tracking us.
You can stick a magnet to your arm after the vaccine. My uncle actually asked me if I tried that the other day, and I lied to him and told him.
Wait, your uncle did? I love your family.
I want to try.
No, I told him that I did it, and it fell off, and I was like, yeah, because it's fucking fake. They put glue dots on those magnets before they film the TikTok videos.
You can lick it, like a guy that too. Licks it, and then he just slaps it on, and he's like. And the guy has like a metal arm, and he's like, he has a prosthetic metal arm, and he goes, I'll try it. And he puts it on and looks at the camera and goes, vaccines. He has like a full prosthetic arm.
Anyways, that is the story of Beulah Annan and Belva Gardner, the inspirations behind the Broadway musical Chicago.
I dig that. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
So intriguing. Like, it's so cool to like hear the actual story of what went.
Because up until recently, I didn't know that they were based off of real people. I thought it was just, you know, a Broadway show. But, like, they had real stories, and the parallels, mostly between Roxy and Beulah, were incredible.
See, that's what I like to hear when things are actually based on real things.
Like, yeah. Stories. Like, Come From Away is based off of a true story around, I think, what was happening around the world in during the Twin Towers.
Huh.
I think. I haven't listened to Come From Away, because I get emotional.
Is it In the Heights?
In the Heights comes out this summer, and I'm really excited for In the Heights.
It's not based on anything true.
Mm.
It's based on a neighborhood I think that Lin-Manuel Miranda grew up around, but it's not. The whole story of In the Heights is that someone in that like one block neighborhood wins the lottery, and that's not based off a true thing.
Okay.
That's based off of the gentrification of New York City and how it's making immigrants' lives really hard. Yeah, Lin-Manuel Miranda is a really great writer.
That popped in my head because I was just listening.
It comes out, and I'm so excited. Did you finally start listening to it?
I did not. Okay. I just heard a commercial for it, and I was like,
I'm really excited.
On my way over here, actually. So.
Oh, yeah. No, you should listen to it. It's a really good musical. I love it. And then Dear Evan Hansen, the movie, comes out.
I'm so excited.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. I have some issues with the material that it is glorifying a Dear Evan Hansen has become some problematic source material considering the plot line of
the I've never seen it, so I have no idea.
It's just it's been really problematic because there's it's some very sensitive material talking about unaliving oneself. And a high school student benefits by lying about his friendship with the person that unalived himself. And it's
I think that's always a, like for 13 Reasons Why, it's always a touchy subject.
It's really touchy like subject that. And the protagonist of the show is lying about a relationship that he had with the deceased in a way that's manipulating the friends and family and everyone around them.
What is this about?
Dear Evan Hansen?
Oh, okay, okay. I was like, what about 13? Because you said 13 Reasons Why. Was,
yeah, well, because that also discusses suicide, and it's a very... It
glorifies it.
Like, yeah. Well, and Dear Evan Hansen doesn't glorify it, but it's someone benefiting from the actively lying about the relationship they had with the deceased and lying to the family members of the deceased who are trying to grieve, and they're being fed lies, and it's kind of a fine line between, like... Is it okay to lie to someone to make them think that they weren't entirely alone before they went out? Or do you tell the truth? And because Evan Hansen wasn't okay either. It's just, it's some really touchy source material. And I haven't done enough research into the communities that are actively affected by this in their real lives to see how they feel about it. I just know that it's been getting some heat recently. Also, Ben Platt is 27 and playing a 15-year-old, so it looks a little weird.
Right.
Well, do we have any final thoughts?
Oh, I don't have thoughts. I have ADHD.
That's a pretty... I mean...
I like plays when they're based on true
life. I want that on a t-shirt.
I don't have thoughts. I have ADHD. I have moments.
Actually.
Anyway, yeah, so that's really fun. And... Like.
Oh my god, you're like, totally going down.
It's like that meme where it's like, you know when you, and then you had to, but then you could have, like the little kid.
that's me. You know when you had, but then I, and he jumped in the,
yes,
in the...
thanks for watching.
Anyway, yeah, that's really cool. This is a very kind of cut and dry story. Like, you know, this happened, and it was made into this.
And
that's it.
And also, it was longer than 17 minutes this time. Sorry,
yeah, guys. How long was it? Oh, we got a solid hour out of it.
Also, you gotta remember there's 16 minutes that has to be cut out because it was all just gibberish.
No, there's like two minutes of that. There's
I went
a
to
lot.
Celebrate, but then I remembered I can't do anything minutes. But dinosaur arms because now my rib cage hurts.
No, she started before the 16 minutes.
But a lot of it was jibber jabber, so there was.
But we can keep a lot of it in.
Tibber-tabber.
People like it when we bullshit.
Yes, they
but
do.
But there's things I do need to cut out, though.
Yes, there were some things that were... I need to breathe.
Anyway.
You can't
so,
breathe.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that story with us. Chloe's going to do her breathing exercises and take her pain pills. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us at our Spooky Time Tea Party, where we talk about ghosts, ghouls, murders, and mysteries, and everything in between, all while enjoying a cup of Diet Dr. Pepper, water, and nothing. So,
tiny cat.
And a tiny cat with it joined us today. She's currently asleep on the floor.
Me.
We love you, everyone. If you want to reach out to us, you can reach out to us on any of our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that jazz, or our email, spookytimetea@gmail.com. I made that reference on purpose. I totally did. And don't forget to spread the spook. You can also do that by sharing with your friends, family, or anyone else you think might enjoy the spooky time. So thank you, everyone. Thanks. We love you all very much. Thank you for listening. And remember... come up with better excuses as to why
straight.
You shot your husband. Keep your story straight and
no,
stop.
No one shot their husband. It was all their lovers.
Right, that's true. Keep your story straight as to why you shot your lovers. And
side piece. I like side piece better.
Side pieces.
Side meat.
There we go. I like that.
As I was like bacon.
You can see it, but I'm literally shriveling in my chair.
We love you all very much. Thank you, and stop parking on train tracks. Sweet dreams.